Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, What Money Can't Buy: The Moral Limits of Markets, by Michael J. Sandel is a work of political philosophy and social critique that examines how market logic has expanded beyond the economy into education, healthcare, public institutions, civic life, and intimate human relationships. Sandel does not argue that markets are inherently bad. Instead, he asks where markets are useful and where they distort the meaning of the goods they touch. His central concern is the shift from a market economy to a market society, in which more and more activities are understood through prices, incentives, and transactions. The book is written in clear, accessible prose and uses concrete examples to make a philosophical argument about fairness, dignity, and the common good. Its purpose is not merely to condemn commodification, but to prompt public reflection on the moral boundaries of markets and the kind of society people want to build together. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the shift from a market economy to a market society. One of Sandel's most important claims is that modern life has moved beyond using markets as a tool for organizing economic exchange. Instead, market thinking now shapes how people understand many social institutions and everyday practices. This is why the book distinguishes a market economy, where markets serve broader social goals, from a market society, where commercial values become the default way of evaluating nearly everything. Sandel treats this shift as morally significant because it changes not only how goods are distributed, but how people imagine civic life itself. When all goods are treated as purchasable, the language of citizenship, shared responsibility, and public purpose weakens. The book therefore frames commodification not as a narrow economic issue, but as a broader cultural and moral transformation. The point is not that every market expansion is harmful, but that society should notice when market reasoning begins to define areas that previously depended on non-market norms, such as trust, obligation, dignity, or public service. Secondly, why inequality makes market access morally unequal? Sandel's first major argument against the expansion of markets is that they intensify the effects of inequality. In a society where many things can be bought, the wealthy gain more than the poor, not only in material comfort, but also in access to opportunities, convenience, and influence. This matters because markets do not operate in a social vacuum. They sort people according to purchasing power, and that sorting can reshape civic life. If money can buy shorter lines, better schools, better healthcare, better political access, or special treatment in public spaces, then inequality reaches far beyond income. Sandel's concern is that such disparities become morally visible when the rich are able to purchase advantages in settings that should express equal citizenship. The underlying issue is fairness, but also legitimacy. A society may technically allow a transaction and still recognize that the transaction gives one group a form of power incompatible with shared civic equality. This makes the book especially attentive to the way market mechanisms can alter the lived meaning of public life for people of different means. Thirdly, how prices can corrupt the meaning of social goods. The second major argument in the book is that some things are not merely redistributed by markets, but altered by them. Sandel insists that assigning a money price to certain goods can change what those goods mean and how they are experienced. His point is not just that some transactions are distasteful, but that the norms governing a practice may be damaged when it is treated according to a lower standard than it deserves. A school reward scheme, for example, may produce more reading while also changing the child's relationship to learning by turning curiosity into paid compliance. A civic duty may lose its force when money turns it into a paid service rather than a voluntary contribution. In this sense, markets can crowd out motivations such as commitment, honor, solidarity, or responsibility. Sandel's analysis shows that incentives are not morally neutral. They communicate what sort of activity something is and what kind of person one is being asked to become. This is why the book focuses on the symbolic and moral effects of pricing, not only its practical efficiency. Fourthly, concrete examples that expose hidden moral boundaries. Sandel's method depends heavily on real-world examples, and that is one reason the book is so effective. He examines cases such as paying children to read, selling naming rights to public institutions, using money to buy access to privileged queues or services, permitting compensation for risky or unwanted acts, and commodifying human capacities or civic duties. These examples are not random illustrations. They are designed to reveal where people already sense that something important is at stake. Sandel uses them to show that many public debates are not really about economics alone, but about what should remain governed by norms other than price. The examples also help him test common defenses of market solutions, such as efficiency or voluntariness. A practice may be voluntary and still be morally problematic if it undermines the good involved. A transaction may increase output and still degrade the social meaning of the activity by moving from familiar cases to harder ones. Sandel invites readers to think about whether there are goods that should not be allocated by willingness to pay, even when no obvious harm is visible at first glance. Lastly, public deliberation about the common good instead of automatic market reasoning. A central political implication of the book is that societies should debate market boundaries openly rather than assume that markets are the default solution. Sandel does not propose a simple list of forbidden transactions. Instead, he argues that citizens should deliberate about the meaning of the goods they value and decide which ones belong in the market and which ones do not. This approach is important because it treats market limits as a question of democratic self-government, not just technical policy design. The issue is not only whether a transaction is efficient, but what kind of social practice it creates or preserves. Sandel's framework therefore brings philosophy into public life by asking citizens to reflect on the moral purposes of education, health, public service, security, citizenship, and friendship-like relations. This makes the book different from standard economics critiques. It is less interested in optimizing markets than in recovering the language of civic judgment. The practical consequence is a stronger emphasis on collective responsibility and moral reasoning in public debate, especially in times when pricing and incentives are often treated as obvious solutions to social problems. In conclusion, What Money Can't Buy is best suited for readers interested in political philosophy, ethics, public policy, economics, and the moral consequences of modern capitalism. It will appeal to anyone who wants to think carefully about why some transactions feel acceptable, while others seem to violate something important, even when they are legal, efficient, or voluntary. The book is intellectually useful because it gives readers a framework for identifying the difference between market allocation and moral judgment. It also sharpens awareness of how incentives can reshape behavior, institutions, and civic values in ways that are easy to overlook. What sets this book apart from many critiques of capitalism is that it does not rely on slogans or nostalgia for a pre-market past. Instead, it offers a disciplined, accessible argument that markets have a proper place, but not every place is proper for markets. Sandel's strength is his ability to connect abstract philosophy to concrete public controversies without losing clarity. Readers looking for a serious, balanced, and readable examination of market limits will find it especially valuable because it asks not just what money can buy, but what kind of society people want money to help create. If you would like to support Michael J. Sandel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.